from the AM 560 studios. This is Debate Night in America with your host, Bruce DeMont.
At this time, we're going to head west. We're going out to Simi Valley and the Reagan Presidential Library. Joanne Jeanette is with us. She is an AM 560 reporter, and she joins us. And are you in the spin room right now, Joanne?
I was, but it was so crowded in there. So
you found a quiet spot.
With Newsom right now. Yeah, I came back upstairs. I'm getting ready to head out. I heard your callers. I agree. Donald Trump won this debate, and he wasn't even there. Pence, I thought he must have some coaching lately because he was a little bit more vibrant and passive-aggressive and kind of funny. But one thing that everyone in the media room agreed on, he tried to deliver some sort of joke about sleeping with his wife, and it didn't land.
No,
and none
it was
of his
one
jokes.
Of those really well, it was kind of funny when he made fun of Ramaswamy. Like, we all, like, kind of chuckled, like, aha, yeah, he's 38. But when he tried to, it was just really uncomfortable, and you could fit, like, audibly hear everyone go, "Oh man, like, you got that clip."
Were there any other audible responses from the reporters during the debate with what any candidate had to say?
A couple of chuckles when Haley started saying that every time she hears from Ramaswamy, she gets dumber. That obviously got a lot of chuckles. They were talking about TikTok and social media, right. So that got some chuckles by everyone. Then right before the debate, and I don't know if you guys caught this, you know, you've got a room full of people sitting in front of their computer.
Right.
About 4 minutes before the debate started, Donald Trump's team sent out an email, and it said, "I'm ready to take the stage." And you click on it. Isn't this clever? You click on it, and it says, "In Michigan."
Great.
They timed it perfectly because we're all waiting for the candidates.
Sure.
And, of course, we have our email open. Bloop. So he was going to be there no matter what.
Did he have any significant thing to say in Michigan? Did you hear any of what he said?
I didn't. No, I have to admit, I didn't. I was watching the debate the whole time and just kind of taking notes. And I don't know. I thought Pence was a little bit more animated than I've ever seen him, like a little bit more charming.
Right.
So I was impressed by that. I was like, whoa, this is a Mike Pence I don't know. But then he did try that, like, weird sleep with my wife joke. It was some comment from Chris Christie, right? It just didn't make sense.
Well, I would assume that that insofar as the reporters in the room, they probably liked Christie because Christie gave them exactly what they were looking for, someone to punch Donald Trump in the nose rhetorically, which he did.
Right.
Then DeSantis quickly came back and I think made the punch even deeper.
Right. It was Christie and DeSantis, the ones who kept bringing
the
up
one-two
Trump.
Punch, yeah.
And they kept saying, he should be here. Well, this is your time, guys. Like, he's given you your time to shine. So, it was interesting.
Very good. Well, listen, thanks very much for your report.
Thank you. Right now, Hannity is interviewing Newsom downstairs.
And Newsom will be providing he'll be providing the Democratic response. And, of course, Sean right now is probably hyping his November 30th debate with DeSantis.
Exactly.
On the debate floor last night, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie tore into President Biden for failing to take on teachers' unions.
They are taking the worst of their members and defending them rather than advocating for our kids. And when you have the President of the United States sleeping with a member of the teachers' union, there is no chance that you could take the stranglehold away from the teachers' union every day.
Audible groans were heard from the press in the media filing room when Mike Pence tried to offer full disclosure, mentioning he had been sleeping with the teacher for 38 years, that teacher being his wife. At times, it felt like the moderators were having a rough time.
We are moving on with this question for Governor DeSantis. Governor, we cannot talk over each other. We must respect each other's time.
Reporting from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California, Joanne Jeanette, AM 560. the answer. It was a night without Donald Trump at the second GOP primary debate in Simi Valley, California. But Republican presidential candidates Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis were vocal about Trump not being in attendance.
These people, they need to change what's going on. And where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership. And you know who else is missing in action? Donald Trump is missing in action. He should be on this stage tonight.
During last night's debate, former Vice President Mike Pence took some jabs at Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, first, let me say I'm glad Vivek pulled out of his business deal in 2018 in China. That must have been about the time you decided to start voting in presidential elections. So,
then Nikki Haley took some swipes at Ramaswamy as well.
This is infuriating because TikTok is one of the most dangerous social media apps that we could have.
At times during last night's debate, it looked like the moderators were struggling to keep things on track.
Moderators Fox News Channel Dana Perino and Ilya Calderon, Univision.
Candidates try to get in every last word.
That does it. I repeat, that does it.
Reporting from Simi Valley, California, Joanne Jeanette, AM 560, The Answer.
Morning, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Now, it's obviously a big day for Republicans, the big debate tonight. We'll get to that in a second.
For seven of them.
Yes. Big, big night for Republicans. A freelance reporter, Joanne Jeanette's going to join us.
Friend of mine from my Chicago radio days.
I was looking at her
resume.
She's
sharp.
She's had an impressive resume covering news around the world and Chicago and the country. So she'll join us about 9:15 or so. Joanne Jeanette joins us after the break. You're listening, of course, Sandy and Steve, WTMJ Now.
Good morning, Sandy Max and Steve Scafidi on WTMJ Now. And Milwaukee got to host the first Republican presidential debate. Some interesting results. And tonight is the second one in Simi Valley, California, at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. And we know someone who's going to be there. Please welcome to WTMJ Now, freelance reporter Joanne Jeanette. Joanne, how are you this morning?
Hi, I'm good. It's still early here in California.
Thanks for waking up early.
Tell me you got
a cup of coffee.
That's
okay. I have to anyway. I've got kids, you know, that whole thing.
So what is the buzz like there in California where you are for this event?
It's mostly a blue state, so it's interesting. A lot of people go, what? There's a what? What, a GOP debate? I'm like, yes, there's a GOP debate in Simi Valley. It's interesting. I like who made the cut. I think it's interesting. We've got DeSantis, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, who I don't know if you remember, he was audibly booed last time when he got up on the stage. Then we have Vivek Ramaswamy, which is its own thing. Then we have Doug Burgum, which I had to look up. I can't find anything on him. I mean, I know he's the North Dakota governor,
right?
But as far as what stance he has on anything, so I was actually kind of surprised that he made it this time.
And Joanne, the big news that Doug Burgum made when he was here was, bless his heart, he was playing a game of pickup basketball and tore his leg up. And he had to
That's the only thing I could find.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the big headline that he had. And hey, he was a trooper.
Right.
He stood up there for 2 hours on that bum leg.
He did.
And
he did.
Participated.
It was very interesting, except for that was the only thing I could find. I was like, but I want to know, you know, what is his stance on things? Like, what would be things I would ask him? So that is funny, yes. And then, of course, we have Mike Pence is also going to be up there tonight. So it's exciting. It's exciting. You have to get there really early. I have to get there by like 10:30 this morning.
And then what will your responsibilities be throughout the day? You'll be actually at the presidential library then.
I will. And this is exciting for me because I moved to California 4 years ago from the Midwest, from Chicago. And I have yet to go to the library, but my kids have been there 1,000 times. They have all their school events, prom, field trips. So I was very excited that I would get to go tonight and be paid. And then everything's going to be closed. So it's just all we're going to have is the media press room and then the debate arena.
Joanne Jeanette joining us, freelance reporter covering the second Republican presidential debate from the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library tonight. I think Fox Business is the biggest source that has it. It's on Rumble, too, I think, and a couple other sites. Joanne,
Univision.
Univision, yes. Thanks for correcting the record on that.
That's okay.
What do you expect to see tonight? We saw Nikki Haley sort of emerge from the pack of the low percenters, right? She was like 1 or 2%. She's seen a rise. We haven't seen Ron DeSantis get back to the numbers he used to have, which were significant.
Exactly.
So what do you expect to see tonight? Who's going to hold the stage, do you think?
I think Vivek Ramaswamy is going to, again, be very dynamic. I don't know if you've been seeing, he is picking up steam. I don't necessarily know if he's going to be, you know, a viable candidate, but he is taking advantage of this opportunity. After the last debate, the next day he got over 1 million searches of his name on Google. So that was a very big deal. And a week later, he did 30 podcasts in one day. So, I mean, he's really running with it to create a brand for himself. As far as Nikki Haley, I mean, I do think she's a pretty strong candidate. Potentially, could she become our first woman president? Maybe not this election, but the next. She's a spunky one. If you read some of the things that she has said, I believe Susan B. Glasser called her hyper-political and calculating. And I couldn't figure out if that was a compliment or an insult.
Yeah, it might be a little of both. The big story,
right.
The big story, of course, is that the leading candidate for Republicans right now, Donald Trump, is not going to be there for the second time. And he's apparently staging events in Michigan with the auto workers. We'll see how that goes. Roughly around the same time. I don't think he's missing a beat here. I think he seems to be comfortable in the lead. He's not going to do anything to shake that up. And for the other candidates, they're just trying to be noticed or recognized as a serious candidate here. So really, I don't think it matters that he's here.
I don't either. It didn't the last time because he did the interview with Tucker Carlson, and it got all those views and it got him all that attention. And I don't think Trump needs to be there. Like he said, I don't need to be there. I don't need to be there where people are going to be screaming at me. But yeah, Ron DeSantis, his campaign is like losing steam every day, a little bit more every day. I think Nikki Haley is the one everyone's starting to talk about. She's really spunky.
Joanne, we were talking about Trump now, not in attendance, but here in Milwaukee, he certainly had many advocates and surrogates is the right word, and many supporters that seemed that were in the audience. What is the size of the audience tonight at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, and who will be in the audience?
That's a great question, and I'm still trying to find out the answer to that. They gave me sort of like the press information. They gave me the setup. I don't even get to park at the library. Like, they keep it really tight. And if you have any guests that are coming in that are not pre-approved, they actually have to get pre-approval. We have to go and park somewhere like 2 miles away, and then they shuttle us over there. So it's very like we're making sure we know everybody that's in this building. So that was an interesting question for me, too. I don't have anyone in particular that I would be interviewing. I'm just going to stay in the media section if they happen to come through, which they did in Milwaukee. They go back to the press room. They chat with a lot of the reporters. Okay, where are you from? Oh, great. And they, you know, whatever you want to ask them. So I'm just kind of playing it by ear today because I'm just a freelancer for a couple media outlets. So I'm not doing anything official. And the great thing is, because it's radio, all I really need is my laptop and my cell phone.
Yeah.
So that's
the
wonderful thing about
here
today.
In Milwaukee, there were two different rooms. There was a media room and then there was a filing room. And it was that filing room where one of our reporters, Wyatt Barmore-Pooley, was there. And it was Donald Trump Jr. who like stuck his head into that room saying, "They won't let me anywhere. They won't let my dad anywhere." But that was how we got time with him, unusually. So you might be surprised who is circulating and who you might have access to unexpectedly.
Yeah, and I think, because I know Larry Elder was trying to get into the debate, and he didn't get enough signatures, or he didn't get the right whatever, because there was a lot that you had to qualify for. And I know, like, as of last week, so he may be there trying to get in some of the press rooms and in somewhere, because I saw him circulated and saying, "Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be," and he didn't make the cut. So that was interesting. Yeah, I might run into him.
Last question for you, Joanne. I was interested to see that they've kicked up the moderator number to three. There was two at the first debate in Milwaukee. If you had a chance to ask a question of the seven candidates tonight, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Give me anything.
Okay.
What do you think you would ask?
You know what? Nikki Haley had said in an interview that if she were to become president, she wants mental competency tests for politicians and presidents over the age of 75. How would she exactly go about making that happen?
That's a great question. It's one of those things people say, especially on talk radio. They say it because it sounds cool and sounds interesting.
There's no way you could hold anybody to that.
No. There's also privacy protections that probably would not allow a lot of that information to be released.
But that is addressing one of the hottest topics in politics right now, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's sharp. She's on it. Well, Joanne Jeanette, freelance reporter and dear friend of mine from my Chicago radio days. Thank you for spending time with us this morning, and might see if you can fit us in tomorrow morning and check in and see what your experience is tonight at the second Republican presidential debate.
Awesome. I'd love to talk to you.
Have a great time today.
Thanks, Joanne.
You too. Bye-bye.
In a bit, we'll take a break. Come back. Sandy, Max, Steve Scafidi on WTMJ Now.
WTMJ Now, Sandy Max, Steve Scafidi, recapping thoughts on the Republican presidential debate last night. Did you watch? What were your takeaways? And we're going to be joined right now with freelance reporter Joanne Jeanette, who was there. Joanne on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little tired. I was there pretty late until, I think, around like 11:30 or so.
And what was your experience last night? Where did you get to be in the room itself, or were you in a separate media area?
We were in a separate media area. So it's almost like I just went all the way out there to sit in a tent. The media spin room was fun, and it was kind of exciting because Hannity was there, and you had like Kellyanne Conway was there, you know, and she walked by me at one point during the day, and she's winking at me. Like, what? Like, she was real peppy and spunky the whole day, so that was kind of interesting. So I thought that was funny. I was like, I think Kellyanne Conway just was winking at me.
That's something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, it was a good day. As far as the debate, a lot of people had this weird feeling like, okay, we know Trump wasn't here, but he won. He was the one who won the debate tonight, even though he wasn't there. That was interesting. A lot of mentions of him. Christie and who's the other guy? DeSantis. Thank you. My head's still like tired from just so much. DeSantis and Christie both mentioned him. And I felt like a lot of us were saying, don't even mention him right now because this is your moment. Did you notice 4 minutes before the debate, everyone got an email from the Trump team?
I did not. I was not aware of that.
Okay. And it said, I thought this was very clever. I'm about to take the stage. This is about 4 minutes right before the candidates came out. You clicked on the email and it said in Michigan, but it was very funny. It was like he was toying with everyone, and we all got it at the same time in the media filing center. So we all kind of giggled. We're like, wait a minute, what does he mean take the stage? Is he coming here? And then you click on it and it says in Michigan.
Still gets your attention.
That's exactly it. So we were all laughing. One thing in the media filing tent, I thought Pence was pretty good. He had more charisma than I had ever seen before. So I got the idea he got a lot of coaching prior to this. When he tried to make the comment about his wife, he was bouncing off something that Christie had said. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like trying to make a joke or be transparent about sleeping with a teacher for 38 years. Audible groans throughout the entire media tent. Oof. It didn't land. It was uncomfortable.
Were there any lines that did land in the media room?
Obviously, everyone started laughing when Haley started calling Ramaswamy dumber. Or she said every time she hears him talk, she gets dumber. So that was causing people to kind of crack up laughing. It felt at times like the moderators were losing it, like they were losing the track. And so that became kind of frustrating because they weren't really, and I wasn't really as impressed with the questions as I thought that I would be. So it kind of everybody's was like, they're being really soft. You know, this is their chance to shine. And then they couldn't keep them on track. So it was me talking over that a lot of us were just like, shush.
Hey, Joanne, as a media professional, Sandy and I were talking about this in the opening segment. The number of moderators, I think two is enough, three, four, whatever.
Yes.
I don't know that we really get anything out of it. And we both kind of noted, like, they're talking over each other. They did a lot of excessive reading at the beginning of the debate. It's like, what purpose does that serve, really?
That's a great question. And I know Stuart Varney couldn't get Calderon's name correctly, so he screwed that up right at the start.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, God, you don't even know her. You don't even know who she is. That's how we felt.
That was cringy. And the other cringy thing, if anybody watched all the way to the very end, where they tried to do a lighthearted moment and ask round robin, almost like Jeopardy, write down who you would vote off the stage, like voting off the island. And similar to the last debate where it was like, raise your hand if you think Donald Trump should be here or not. And it was interesting to see DeSantis just go, this is disrespectful. This is, we're right. all here for the same reason. And basically, you talk about the kids table, Steve, like, don't treat us like children. And a couple people were able to get in their last pitches for please vote for me. But interesting to see another cringy, started with a cringy, ended with a cringy.
You're trying to be too cute and clever. You'll fail every time, right? When you're trying to be funny, you're not going to be funny. Yeah, that we did see that, and that was like, okay. At that point, I was getting my coffee. I'm getting my laptop. I'm like, okay, what am I going to write about this thing? What am I going to say? And when am I going to go home? But it was fun.
Was there any? There's always the post-debates conversation about who won the debate. I've read a lot this morning from a lot of different commentators. It's mixed. Some people said Ron DeSantis. Some people said Nikki Haley. Any sense in the media room or from the audience, people that maybe you talked to, of who like was the big winner, if there was one?
I mean, DeSantis did, he looked pretty good last night. I mean, his campaign has been sliding, so he kind of like revived it a bit. A lot of the attendees, by the way, that the attendees get bussed over and they show up about 40 minutes before the debate itself. And I went over there to see maybe somebody, because they have cocktails in them. You know, these people are going to sit, they're here. Maybe they'll talk to some reporters. So I was able to get a few people to talk to me, and that's who they wanted to hear from. They did want to hear from DeSantis. I thought Nikki Haley was okay, but not as good as she was in the first one. Tim Scott. I mean, Tim Scott did really well for someone that I don't necessarily think is going to be or, you know, be elected anytime soon. But he really got a lot of time, and he was well spoken, and I thought he did well. But I would say probably DeSantis. Yeah, DeSantis.
Interesting. And Tim Scott, I think he had one of the best lines tonight talking about the response to slavery and issues with education and some of the DEI and diversity issues in Florida. I thought he nailed it on that one.
And how the 14th Amendment is being used. Is it the 14th Amendment? I'm panicking in my notes.
But
14th Amendment was really geared towards slavery and not immigration and how that's being interpreted.
Right.
That was an interesting, again, discussion, not just an argument.
Yes. Oh, and there was also another time that everyone kind of got into it. Haley and Scott were, you know, they were talking about the gas tax. So they started bickering. I love circuses. So I love debates. It was like an old married couple bickering, and it was fun to listen. And you're going, okay. So that was another one. And Doug Burgum got way more time than I ever thought he would. Way more time than I ever
thought. He's got a lot of money, and he certainly wants to stay on that stage. I don't know that he needs to be there. That's my final question, Joanne.
Yeah,
it's like, next time, the third debate, which of this group is still on? If there's still seven or eight or six.
There's no way there's going to be seven next time.
There can't be, right?
There can't be. No. I would say four.
And does Trump show up?
No, he's not going to show up at all. He's not going to show up to any of these things.
What a fascinating year of politics that lays ahead. Debates where the leading candidate doesn't even bother to show up, yet it gets all the attention.
I know.
Freelance reporter Joanne Jeanette there at the second Republican presidential debate. Thank you so much for joining us, Joanne.
Bye-bye. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Joanne.